I think we're gonna get started, guys.
Good morning. Thank you for coming. It's been a couple of years since we've been able to gather or start to gather again for now the Inspired Home Show. I'm Mike Duff. I'm a writer for Homepage News, which is the website and news site for the IHA. And this morning we have a program that touches on some very critical areas in e-commerce as they've evolved through the COVID-19 pandemic. Right now, Scott Allen for Fit for Commerce is going to talk to us a little bit, and he's already got himself going, so with no further ado, please welcome Scott Allen.
Showing up today. I know it's the first one of the day. It's on Saturday, so I really appreciate it. Hopefully, as we continue to communicate what we do and type of what's going on in the omni-channel world, it'll continue to take off. But anyway, you know, thinking about omni-channel just in general, about brands, retailers, how they're trying to get past this pandemic and what they're doing differently today, and it's even more important to have a stronger digital presence as well as that omnichannel experience to make it as seamless as possible. So a lot of companies think they have it right. There's a lot of opportunity because there's a lot of friction points, and I'll get into some of that through the Omnichannel Retail Index. So with that, our agenda, I'd like to tell you a little bit about who Fit for Commerce is, how we fit into the omnichannel and what we do. Also talk about the omnichannel current state of the retail index, and then also what's future state look like of some of the findings. Fit for Commerce, we are a digital consulting practice. We are the digital strategy for OSF Digital. We just got acquired back in January. So our mantra to what we like to say is about digital acceleration for businesses, helping people from digital assessments to requirements to org charts, thinking about all the omni-channel. When you think about personalization, CDP, collecting that data, what are you doing with it, and how are you touching that across all omni-channel touch points? A bunch of us from the consulting practice have been practitioners for different companies, brands. If you think about running P&Ls for Victoria's Secret or eBay, we have a lot of different people who sat in those seats as CMOs. We have people who've been on the CTOs. So that's a lot of things that we do from a business standpoint. And I'll get into some of the omni-channel stuff in just a minute. Oops, I'm trying to work this. Let's go back. So some of the brands we work with, we do a lot of hard goods, soft goods. We work with a lot of brands from B2B, B2C, manufacturers, investment companies, and help them with their process. And it can be as little as, hey, we need help from a digital marketing practice. Are we spending enough? We need to acquire this company. Can you kick the tires and help us understand, is this business telling us the right things? And can you please look under the covers and help us? We work in a lot of different countries, over 18 different countries we've served. We have 1,500 engagements and continue to grow. Over 600 engagements with retailers, brands, B2B, manufacturers, as well as we do a lot of thought leadership from white papers, helping think about what should be next, innovation. And as we start going into the omni-channel and thinking about why does it matter, who cares, there's so many cross-channel touch points that people need to understand when you think about referrals. You look at ship to home, buy online, pick up in store, how prevalent that is today versus what it was. And as you think about why this is important from store, web, mobile, omni-channel interactions, you know, it's about increasing sales, conversion. We all know that, but you know, where are those friction points, and do you know that with your own brands? So as we think about omnichannel and some of the perspectives, and I won't go through every stat, but omnichannel, if you have a good omnichannel experience, a lot of customers and clients are seeing almost 4x in lifetime value versus single channels. That is a big stat if you think about what that looks like for the future. Buy online, pick up in store, more adoption around that for 50%, and there's some big stats for that, which has really accelerated with the pandemic, as well as return, reserve online, pickup in store. So there's a lot of different things from trying to think about table stakes, what you should be doing, and are you behind the curve or are you in front of it? So it gets into why table stakes today. You think about the facets, you think about curbside. What should you be doing? You think about back in, 2016, only 33% of people were doing buy online, pickup in store. Now that number has just grown so much based on the pandemic and thinking about what that experience looks like from store, offline, online to offline. As we start covering some of this stats when we think about Omnichannel Retail Index, Fit for Commerce does a lot of benchmarking. We've done this for years and going through and looking at almost 100 to 125 different brands and retailers. We'll look across 13 different verticals and we'll evaluate from mystery shopping almost 250 different types of criteria. So if you think about website, mobile, store, navigation, product detail pages, what's that experience like? Are you asking the right Q&As at the right point to get them through the path of purchase? Mobile, thinking about store finders, the customer service, is it easy to navigate? Is it tapability? And then store and cross-channel. You know, who's in the index on the people who are reviewing and going through? You know, there's different apparel companies, beauty, there's different marketplaces. Today we're talking about the home houseware as well as home improvement for the home vertical and how that indexes across all these other index, the Omnichannel Retail Index in total. So that's where our starting point is. So with that, you know, what can we learn from this? So we're gonna dive a little deeper into different facets from marketing, customer service, even getting down to product detail pages as you think about what that looks like from experience. So some of the stats from improvements in retail adoption, thinking about adoption in whole for Omnichannel. If you look at the store side of it, that's the biggest improvement we've seen since, and we're evaluating 2019 versus 2021. 2020, we pushed out because of the pandemic, but when we gone through and did the Omnichannel retail benchmarking, the biggest increase was in store from 59 to 75. The home vertical really had a good jump from 55 to 63%, which is the bottom right. So they're at 63%. And then when they compare against the overall arching index, 62 for total. So home vertical is right in line where it needs to be. As we drill down even deeper and you think about marketing, you think about a seamless process across all channels and thinking about that personalization. You know, we think we're doing everything right from display, email, marketing. How's that personalized experience? We're doing it perfect, but we're really not. There's a lot of friction points that are being missed, and there's a lot of table stakes and basics that should be done up front. So the big key and takeaway on this slide, communication is key. Email signups from the vertical for home, it's 25% are actually having pop-up. So that seems to be very low in the opportunity to help continue to increase that compared to the overall index of 54. Text messaging, a lot better, around 42%. And then asking for emails at the store level, 64% of the ones that we actually benchmark on the vertical for home are asking for email at the registration, or at the at the store versus 78%, which is a little low. So obviously a lot of opportunity there. Drilling down a little deeper into the product side of it and thinking about listing page and how you're helping with the customers shop efficiently and more seamless. A lot of opportunities when you think about filtering capabilities and going through and how are the social interacting with the product listing page to drive you into that purchase to get you into the path. 92% of home verticals can select multiple attributes in the filter, which is great for you think about size, you think about color and other things. From a perspective, just quick view on the bottom right, 25% have the quick view where you can go through and actually learn a little bit more and be able to jump into that page and see a little bit more on the product listing page versus 32% overall when you think about Omnichannel Retail Index in total. You know, as we have all said, that, you know, content is key. It continues to reign. What is that content? What's the communication? How are you getting that visibility for your product lines, your business, making sure that people understand and helping them guide them through that purchase path? As we think about, you know, frequent asked questions and investing in different plots to increase conversion, video, which a lot of us already know this, continues to be big. It's growing very fast and across the board. It's 67% for the home vertical versus 43%. But a lot of people are using the videos within their channels, performance channels. How are they pushing communication? Videos when they get on the site. What are they doing from a digital video in the store and thinking about omnichannel differently versus how it was in the past? User guide content from social media sites. How are people using that social media content and really pushing them to that product page and try to get them through to the cart? And then as you think about generated question and answers on the product detail page, you know, making sure that you answer those questions, you don't drop off on this page, you have the information that's right in front and center that you can push them through the path. 67% is doing, the home vertical is doing well compared to 39% in the overall index. Well, going through for customer service, we all want exceptional customer service. We all say that, but are we really doing this at the very end? If we think about the ease of access to greater customer service and thinking about trying to build confidence with that customer at the end of the day, and going through what that live chat and the SMS and the communication, can you find the customer service? Can you do it on mobile? Can you do it on desktop? What is the easiest way to get to that customer service so I can ask questions? Also, if you think about customer service, I'm online, having that digital expert in the store to be able to pick up calls and say, hey, I'd like to understand how this fits or the material. That is starting to become bigger and bigger, and from an omni-channel experience, really driving a lot of behavior and conversion. But from a stat standpoint, on the home vertical, 50% of the home vertical offer live chat on the product detail pages, where overarching on the overall index is at 44%. Really low on the, you know, really phone numbers are starting to be on decline, but it's really the visibility of getting to that. But on the home vertical, which you can read, 17% versus 26. Live chat, live bots, you think about AI and the opportunity to be able to have certain questions being answered. It's helping with the customer service so you're not having 24/7 and being able to use that on different pages that I get to the standard questions. And then if you can't get to those questions, what's the outlet to get to the customer service rep to answer that final question? Cart and checkout. This is what's important here is that, you know, think about alternative payments. Buy online, or excuse me, pay now, pay, excuse me, before I get there, I'm gonna do that on the next page, but 42% of vertical, home vertical shows threshold or upsell opportunities at the cart and checkout to help drive, one, extra items in the basket, upsell opportunities, like, hey, if you buy another item, you'll get another 10% off. Going through and looking at some of the buy now and pay later, back in about 2018, there wasn't a lot of people doing it, but today it's table stakes. You know, you got Klarna, you got a lot of different companies that buy now and pay later payment options, but on the home verticals, only 25% are actually have that on the home vertical versus 52% on the total omnichannel retail index. And then here's an interesting stat from a save for later in your cart. For the home vertical, kind of makes sense because they're bigger items. 67% that were benchmarked are doing it versus 48% when you compare 2019 to 2021. Thinking about the pandemic and then digital commerce and omnichannel and top priorities for the list for retailers, you know, this became very important about safety and ensuring that, hey, do we have this from, I keep going back and saying table stakes, that is today's table stakes versus what it was. Thinking about buy online, pick up in store, curbside, buy online, return in store, opportunity to help drive those types of opportunities, but it's been a challenge for technology on the back end for companies to really get there and to be able to execute from a process standpoint. That's been the biggest thing we've heard from benchmarking, the technology piece and being able to connect the process through the buy online, pick up in store. But for home vertical, they're doing it very well from 91% versus 86. And as you think about buy online, pick up and curbside, 91%. And then 82% on buy online, return in store. And considering like delivery options, expectations continue to drive, and what is that opportunity to help continue to push that? In store, you know, a lot of companies are just, and brands are just trying to think about how do I reimagine what the store experience is? How do I bring in the digital world? If I'm online and I have questions, having that digital person, or excuse me, that store person answering questions about fit, it could be about what that product looks like, material, sizing, having an opportunity to really help with that experience. Fulfillment models, what does that look like? Delivery expectations. From home vertical and thinking about buy in store and ship anywhere, that's pretty normal, but 82%. But the endless aisle, thinking about getting in the store and being able to look at other inventory in other stores and be able to either ship it to home, ship it to another store, continues to be a big thing from a opportunity for inventory and showing them to really increase the conversion for customers. And last, 64% are accepting mobile payments, so Apple Pay, tap your card, continues to grow from 2019 to 2021. It's up to 64% versus 84 in total. But being able to make it seamless, making it easier for and convenient, continues to be a big battle and opportunity for customers. And one of the last slides here of innovation. So home vertical is ahead of the curve, which is great from experiences. Thinking about AI, thinking about VR, you know, how are you thinking about that experience? A lot of companies do it well out there where you can actually put that product or that couch in your room. What is a design of a room and what does that look like and making it easy? Also understanding what pricing, what did I need to think about for upsell opportunities? 75% of the home vertical offer innovative experience. Couch modules, visuals, desktop, versus 30% on overall, which is really good for the home side, which it makes a lot of sense. 25% are offering AR experience and VR versus 10. And then is the other thing about free design help and expertise, having that person that's available to answer questions, either scheduling a appointment or someone, a live agent immediately, 65 versus 35%. And that continues to help or grow over time. And thinking about how you think about omnichannel just from personalization, data is king. Are you capturing all the data and what does that mean for in-store versus online? So if I'm at the register in the store and I see that I've made multiple purchases online, what is that upsell opportunity? And how do you upsell them from a loyalty standpoint, being able to think about other options from an upsell, if it's cross-selling products or whatever. But anyway, it continues to grow. And a lot of the takeaways, I think, are very straightforward, but it's the frictionless points and seamless opportunities that companies are trying to understand and going through and saying, all right, well, am I doing the basics right? Am I doing the emails? Am I going through and asking for that? Even though you're piling up emails in the email basket, it's being more targeted, thinking about CRM, thinking about personas. How are you targeting your customers to drive loyalty and keep you from your competitors? And, you know, I talked about a little bit about data earlier, you know, profiling. Are you updating the preferences as you think about continue that will and thinking about that journey for the customer? Are you thinking about all the different touch points and also encouraging what you do very well? If it's buy online, pick in store, are you communicating that? Are you providing awareness? But it's not just communicating that in the store, but it's all through all channels. So with that, that's kind of a quick overview of what the Omnichannel Retail Index. I'd like to, if there's any questions, answer those at this time. Or if you want a copy of the deck, please leave your card and I'll be happy to send it to you. Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to ask you a question about a couple retailers in particular, Target and Kohl's, and get your thoughts on how they compare to one another, either with data from the index or just anecdotally, in terms of how they're doing as omnichannel retailers.
Great question. So I can speak to Target. Target's doing very well. There's a lot of stats out there that how they're buying online, curbside pickup, how they're pushing that communication back and forth and trying to drive more behavior. And their basket size continues to grow as they try to do more upsells when they go in the store. That has been a big driver, at least what we're seeing for Target. Now for Kohl's, I don't have any insight for that at this point, to be honest with you.
Any other questions? Because I have a question.
Yes, sir.
We've seen for many years retailers try to use things like video kiosks and such in their stores to, I don't even think they were thinking in terms of omnichannel, just a link to other things they can do, even with video, even before really e-commerce took off. And they always seem to have mediocre success at best. Now, over the last 2 years, we've had more and more people explore that kind of shopping, and we have, you know, people like Walmart and Macy's do live streaming. What do you think in terms of introducing that in the store as part of the omnichannel experience? Is that an opportunity that people may be missing, and is it something they should be rethinking and reintroducing?
Great question. So from a digital aspect, thinking about omnichannel in the store with video, self-checkout opportunities, yes. Actually, from a growth standpoint, that's definitely is going to help from conversion. It's also going to give you a lot more awareness from content and other information about the product, depending on what that product may be. The challenge on that is the technology and the processes in the stores to make sure that is completely connected, right? So you think about technology, are there any gaps in that process that you don't want to have a customer have a bad experience? But as long as it's seamless, obviously it's going to be a better opportunity for one, driving incremental sales and conversion.
And you mentioned having people in store that can work with the omnichannel buyer. We've seen retailers significantly boost how much they're going to pay their hourly people. Which suggests that they want to hold on to them, which suggests more training. Do you think that more stores are going to lean in that direction to have specialist employees on the floor working with people to use the whole omnichannel capability?
Yes, and we're already seeing that today, that that's already occurring. So to your point about the cost, you're a lot more education because they're having to answer calls from online, obviously around a lot of different types of products, being able to be that expert for the individual. The costs definitely are going up, but the benefits outweigh the cost at the end of the day, and we are seeing multiple clients that are doing that and doing it very well. And there's also people are just trying to step into it, trying to learn it, but the experience is about, you know, all the way around, which we talked about from an omnichannel standpoint. The communication online needs to be the same in the store, and if I need to reach someone going in the store, they can also help me online, so it's back and forth. So yes, I see a lot of growth in that.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. Any other questions? Please, hold on. I want to get one on the back. I forgot to grab the bowl.
Hey there. Can you speak to the adoption of like QR codes in store and the, you know, how that might have changed or grown over the past couple of years, and any brands or companies that do that well?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, QR codes, it's actually, you could see it in store, you're seeing it for product, you're looking at, you can even see it on the Super Bowl to be able to click on your QR codes, right? Opportunities to get people to, one, to a link so you get more information from them. It's also an opportunity to think about how you try to provide more awareness and education about certain, either it's product or, hey, did you know this brand is actually doing X, Y, and Z, and I might not already knew about it. So more companies online, just on TV, when you go through and seeing the QR codes, try to click on them. Think about at the, well, especially for COVID, you go into restaurants, right? You're not getting the handed out menus, you're getting the QR codes to be able to look at their product. So it's also telling you that, hey, do you really need this anymore from a, I'm always doing extra paper for the menus, or I am trying to do this within the brand at the store level. But the QR codes are definitely being adopted, and it's growing.
If we can get back to BOPIS for a moment, I'd like to know if the index accounts for the time that a retailer says it will take in order for the product to be available. Meaning, if retailer A promises availability within 4 hours, but retailer B, who is a comparable retailer, promises within 1 hour or 90 minutes, is that accounted for in the index? And if it isn't yet, is that something you can see ultimately being accounted for?
That is not being accounted today, but I believe that is definitely another criteria that we should evaluate, because that is very important, right? If I know I can go and get something within 1 hour, obviously I'm going to go with that company. If it's a competitor, I don't have any loyalty. It's about getting that product now. I forgot to give my wife a present. I need this now, or whatever that may be. But I think that is a good recommendation.
Anyone else? I'd just like to say on the QR codes, the restaurants better do something about their menus, because the way it looks now, the older I get, the bigger phone I'm going to need.
So true.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate you coming.
And please.
Thank you.
This session has been recorded, so you can look for it online at a later date. Not exactly sure when it's going to go up online, but that's the intention. So thank you very much for coming.
All right, thank you.